Welcome to Your Career Podcast, the podcast that helps to ensure your career success. To start getting on track with your career, download my free career goals calendar from thecareersacademy.online. My goals calendar includes a SMART goals template and a weekly tasks sheet that will ensure step by step you get closer to reaching your career goals. So download my goals calendar today at thecareersacademy.online. Now on with the show. Welcome to Jane Jackson Careers, a podcast to inspire you to take your career to the next level. In this podcast, I chat with amazing professionals who are leaders in their field and find out what's made them a success. Many of them have successfully made changes in their careers. They may have changed industry, changed job function, made big city or country moves, or taken the huge leap into entrepreneurship. I also share practical and actionable career tips for those who want to explore what to do next in their career and aren't sure about what steps to take to get moving. Subscribe to this podcast for regular updates or visit me at janejacksoncoach.com.
Hey, this is John Lee Dumas introducing Jane Jackson Careers, a podcast that will inspire you to take control of your career and your life. Here's your host, Jane Jackson, career management coach and author of Navigating Career Crossroads. Be prepared to ignite.
Well, hello and welcome back to my careers podcast. Today, I'm thrilled to be interviewing Colin Gray, the podcast host. Colin has been teaching podcasting skills for over 7 years, working with businesses to promote through broadcast and with universities to teach via podcasting. Colin's passion is helping other podcasters at thepodcasthost.com. His background is online education, and it underpins a range of online podcasting courses, all designed to help podcasters launch and grow their show. He can produce your podcast for you or provide regular mentoring to those looking for a long-term podcasting partner. Now, Colin's going to be speaking at the New Media Europe Conference on the 12th and 13th of September in Manchester. This conference is for podcasters, social media visionaries, and entrepreneurs, and features some of the best speakers in the world. So if you can get over there, I would. Now, I'm a very lucky lady to have Colin on the show today. So thank you so much, Colin, for agreeing to be interviewed. And it's my pleasure to have you on the show.
No, I'm. You're more than welcome, and I'm honoured to be invited. So yeah, glad to be on.
Well, I have to tell you, I was so excited when you said yes, because I'll have to tell the listeners, I've been listening to Colin's podcast, and I've been learning how to podcast through his podcasts. And so I thought, oh, I'll just give it a go. I stalked Colin for a little while on Twitter, and when I ended up sending you an email and you said yes, I was thrilled. It was great. So thank you so much. So because this is a careers podcast, I'd like to find out a little bit about your career path and how you ended up becoming the podcast host.
Sure.
And so can you tell me a little bit about your early days and where you're from?
Yeah, sure. I'm from Scotland, if you want the geographical where I'm from. And I live in Dundee just now, but then I went up to Edinburgh for university. And in Edinburgh, I started out as an astrophysicist, believe it or not. That was my undergrad, but soon discovered that had far too much maths in it. So I binned that quite quickly. And I moved over to multimedia and interactive systems at Edinburgh Napier there. And basically that took me to my first job, which was, well, I say job, but actually I was a self-employed web designer. So I worked as a web designer for about 4 or 5 years, just in the sort of early days of my working life, and that was where I started out. I still consider that kind of my main trade, or my original trade. Still do a fair bit of web design and web development for my own businesses, and although I try and stay away from that a little bit these days. But that kind of took me into, after about 4 or 5 years, I ended up teaching a course at a college in Edinburgh on web design and a bit of multimedia too, so teaching Flash and all that kind of stuff. It's long gone out of date now, but it was good fun back then, doing cartoons and things in Flash. Mm-hmm. And really, that was what took me into podcasting eventually, because working at that college and then eventually at a university in Edinburgh as well, I ended up teaching lecturers how to teach better online. So that's where I get the online education background, mm-hmm. Because I did a lot of work with universities back then around how to create great online courses. And part of that, part of the technology, or one of the technology we used to use, was podcasting. Mm-hmm. So I kind of came across this technology called podcasting that everyone was talking about being great for teaching students. And so I was, I'll have to go and learn how to do that. So I did, and I ended up teaching a course at Edinburgh Napier University for about 4 or 5 years on how to podcast to teach. And basically that translated into creating a website called The Podcast Host, writing articles on podcasting, and really sort of that primed my interest in podcasting and made me start up a couple of shows. And eventually, once I got out of that, that's why I now run The Podcast Host as a full business, because I just enjoyed working in podcasting so much and teaching people how to do it. And I wanted to get out of just education. I wanted to not just teach universities. I wanted to help businesses. I wanted to help people who are just trying to entertain to set up podcasts, which can either be, just for their own well-being, their own fun, or actually to turn it into a business and make money out of it. So that's kind of, I suppose that's the potted history of how I got where I am now.
Wow. So you started with astrophysics. And then yes. Got it. So now we need to wind back a little bit, because this is really fascinating. So astrophysics, as an astrophysicist, look, I can't even say the word, to becoming a web designer. So what was the big change? What happened? Was it because it was just, too technical, or just not an area of interest?
The thing with our schools here in the UK, I think, we don't get a whole lot of guidance in terms of, I'm going to be slightly unfair here, but from my point of view, I didn't get a lot of guidance in what I wanted to do as a career from mm-hmm. school. You know, you get careers guidance people, you get guidance counsellors at school, but they mm-hmm. kind of, to me, it was always just primed that if you did well in school, which I did reasonably well in school. I was a kind of conscientious enough kid. Mm. So for that purpose, you were guided towards just going to uni, and that was it. Nobody really ever made me think about what I wanted to do after that, as in what job I wanted to do after uni. Mm-hmm. So they said, just go and do a good degree and you'll get a good job from that, which these days I think is horrible advice, because I ended up just doing physics because mm. I was good at physics at school. It was probably the subject I enjoyed the most, just because I like playing around with things and doing experiments and the kind of the physical elements of our world. And I was really interested in space at the time. So that's kind of why I ended up doing astrophysics, because I just wanted to learn about stars and planets and all that kind of thing. Mm. So that's why I went and did it, with no real view of what career I wanted after that. I just thought, I'll just get a physics degree and then I get a good job from that. That's what I was told. But it transpired that actually physics at university is really just maths. Mm-hmm. When you get into depth with it, it didn't interest me that much. Astrophysics really is, it's not so much about sort of all the interesting parts that you think about of astrophysics. It's really just the maths again. So that's kind of why I ended up just falling out of love with it. I wasn't really that interested, and so I just wanted to find something else to do, really.
Mm-hmm. And so getting into web design, was it how did that happen? Because it's so different.
Yeah, so web design, I was always interested. I did web design at school, and I enjoyed playing around with that. The web really fascinated me. I just really enjoyed playing around with it and finding out how it worked and making websites. And after I kind of after I finished astrophysics and realized I never wanted to do anything to do with physics again, I was just looking around for something else to do. And I enjoy education. So I thought, maybe I can do another course, do a master's degree and something that'll interest me a bit more. And I found that course, Multimedia and Interactive Systems, at Edinburgh Napier, which was basically around web design, but also animation, around 3D design, around actually making games as well. And I was a bit of a geek at school, so I really like computer games. And the idea of doing a course that taught me a little bit about learning how to code games and stuff like that really fascinated me. So that was where it went to. It was something I was interested in all along. And actually, during my physics degree, I did a bit of web design, as in I created some websites for groups that I was part of at university and friends of mine and stuff like that. So I was playing around with that stuff, but I'd never even thought about it as a career until I kind of got to the stage where I thought, you know what, I don't want a job that comes out of this course.
Okay. And so once you've done, you were playing around, you were really enjoying it, you were a little bit geeky at school, you were having a lot of fun with it. And then from the web design, to now becoming the podcast host? I realize that you were exposed to it because of all the teaching and the podcasting through the universities. But can you tell me,
yes,
when did podcasting actually start? Because for me, it's reasonably new, but obviously it's been around for quite a few years. And so did it actually start in the universities?
No, it started in the mid-2000s, where people just decided, do you know what, I should probably know the history of this more, and people have asked me about it before, but do you know, I've never been that interested, actually. People kind of take pride in knowing exactly who it was and when it was that it started, and I'm like, I don't really care, it's where it is now.
Oh, all right, Colin, you don't care, I was just interested, I like the history of everything.
Sorry, I don't mean to denigrate the question at all, it's actually me just defending my ignorance probably more than that. But it started in the mid-2000s,
yeah.
And it was really around trying to make a way for audiophiles to be subscribed to. So the first sort of podcasts were really just somebody hand coding what's called an RSS feed, which allowed you to publish an audio file and then somebody to produce an RSS feed that allowed you to subscribe. So that means that then you can subscribe in some kind of technology, an app or whatever, that then the audio files come to you automatically. So that's just that was the simplest thought of it starting out, and really it's developed from the 2000s from there, and you're right, it's really new to a lot of people, because it's still definitely not very mainstream. It's still a word that a lot of people have never heard of, despite the fact it's been around for 10 years now. So we've still got a bit of way to go, but I think we've gained a lot of ground in the last 2 years in terms of getting a bit more mainstream popularity, just through a couple of shows that really kind of took off, and a lot of sort of larger media companies picking it up. So yeah, that's kind of my my not so good history of podcasting.
No, it's so fascinating, and I guess also with like iTunes and Stitcher, where they're not exactly hosted, but that's where people can actually download the podcast. It's made it so easy and accessible to the world. So now back to you, though, Colin.
Yeah.
So you're the podcast host. So what prompted you to start a podcast to teach others to podcast?
Well, I suppose it's kind of, I almost came at it the other way around, because a lot of people who teach how to podcast these days started out in doing a podcast that they were just passionate about, on some kind of subject. A lot of podcast teachers seem to start out with TV show podcasts. So a lot of the guys you find these days that teach podcasting, like me, they started out doing a show about a TV show, because there's a lot of podcasts out there around TV programs that people will follow along and they'll discuss the TV programs, discuss the characters, that kind of thing. So some of the more successful podcasting teachers started out that way and then realized that there's a lot of people interested in knowing how to do this and therefore transferred over to teaching. But I kind of came at it the other way, because I was a teacher first. And then teaching it and learning how to teach it taught me about the process. And because of that, I ended up starting a few shows of my own. So it was kind of, I suppose, I've approached it in the opposite way from a lot of people. And that's why I now really enjoy teaching, because I'm a kind of teacher by trade almost, as well as the web design, because I got into teaching web design and because I got into teaching at university. That's kind of something I really enjoy and something I think I'm good at. So that's part of why I do it, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I'm really glad that you do, because when I stumbled across your podcast, the podcast host, and I was thinking, I really want to create my own podcast, because my mission in life is to make careers guidance and careers advice accessible to the world.
Yes.
I had these grandiose ideas and I thought, how am I going to do it? So having written a book, that was one way, but podcasting is wonderful because they can download my podcast for free and most podcasts for free as well. It's interesting information. And then when I stumbled across yours and you had that wonderful structure of, you know, you've got your three sections. One is all about the equipment that you need if you're thinking about starting a podcast, how you can structure a podcast. And then section two being all about the more advanced sort of equipment and how to interview people. And then the third one, how to monetize a podcast. It was fantastic the way it's so well structured. And I guess that's because you are a teacher.
And yes, indeed, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, being a teacher, being able to structure it in such a way so that someone like me, who's a total dummy when it comes to anything technical, I thought, I think I can do this. And, it's great. And so now, you know, I've followed your advice on, you know, certain equipment and what to do and how to interview. I'm still learning, though. So, you know, it's just great for me to use you as a guinea pig to to interview as well. But now I happen to know, because I've been reading up and doing my research, that you have another podcast as well, and it's on mountain biking.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. What's it called?
It's called the Mountain Bikes Apart podcast, because that's the name of the website. Basically, yeah, mountain biking is my kind of passion outside of work. That's how I blow off steam, I suppose. I get out on my mountain bike and cover the trails of Scotland. Mm-hmm. So it was only natural to do a podcast on that as well. Mm-hmm. And it's not, I don't maintain it as much as I should, to be honest. It's more just a kind of fun project. Mm-hmm. And the website, mountainbikesapart.com, is a site that I just write about biking and just my thoughts on cycling and stuff like that, and equipment and things like that, just because I like playing around with kit, really. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's where that came from. And it does, it's actually, ironically, it does better than my podcasting podcast.
Really?
Basically, because it's a much wider audience, really. Uh-huh. I mean, the Podcraft, which is the podcasting podcast, mm-hmm. which, thank you for the kind words there, by the way. That's means a lot to hear people saying that it actually works well. But yeah, it's a very niche audience, people looking to learn how to podcast. Mm-hmm. But mountain biking is a much wider audience, I suppose. So I really enjoy the feedback and the interaction I get through that show. It's yeah, it's great.
Oh, I'll have to have a listen. I used a mountain bike many years ago, but not serious stuff. Great. Mainly because I used to live in Singapore, and there's not a lot of places where you can do any real mountain biking there. But I can imagine in Scotland. Sure. I mean, you're battling the elements and the weather, and you must have just some of the most beautiful scenery to bike through.
It's not bad. We're lucky enough here, yes.
Yeah. So now back to your podcasting podcast, because mm-hmm. I mean, that's just such a great podcast for people to learn all about this as well. What do you find most challenging about being a podcaster and providing valuable content to your listeners?
The thing that the most people, there's a few challenges in there, but the thing that the most people struggle with is really the regularity. It's the consistency of getting content out there. And I suppose there's a few things to that. The first is that podcasting isn't it isn't short in terms of the time it takes you to do it. Mm-hmm. So you have to record something, then you have to edit it, then you have to publish it. And while that's all, it's relatively easy. I mean, you can learn how to do it easy enough, and everyone can do it themselves. It does take a bit of time, so it does take a bit of commitment. And that's kind of something that I always end up helping people with, because really, I think that a lot of people start out podcasting and they say, right, I'm going to do it every week, because that's kind of a pretty standard schedule. And I think it is probably one of the best schedules to stick to, because people quite enjoy getting a show every week, and it's a good regularity to go for. Mm. So people commit to that, but then they realize that, you know, your week kind of becomes a bit full, and there's always other things, there's always priorities. And the thing that I tend to work with people on in terms of managing that regularity is actually putting up a strategy around your podcast. And that's going to sound a bit kind of business bingo to a lot of people, sort of talking about strategy and aims and all that kind of thing. But actually, it makes a big difference when you actually just sit down and spend half an hour or an hour when you start up your podcast thinking about what is it that you actually are looking to get out of this show. And if you're a business, obviously it might be sales for product, or it might just be visitors to your website. If you're not, if you're a hobbyist, it might actually be something like interaction with audience. So with my mountain biking podcast, all I want to do is talk to other mountain bikers and hear more news about mountain biking and get to talk to the famous guys. So get to talk to the racers, which is something that comes out of it. It's great. So having those aims, though, is something that drives you, and something that you can always come back to when your regularity's kind of faltering, or you're thinking, oh, I don't know if I've got time to do it this week. You can always look back at that strategy and see what it is you're looking to achieve, what it is you want to get out of your show, and manage to sort of stick to it from there. I think it makes a big difference.
Yeah, I think the regularity is going to be something that I'm going to really struggle with as well. But I tend to do a recording when the mood takes me. So I'm doing a combination of interviews as well as information on careers. So I think that makes it a little bit easier. So if I haven't scheduled someone for an interview, at least I can still give careers advice.
For
yours, with the podcast host, it's just there's so much information in there. You are so generous with what you provide. But then this is also your business as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so can you tell me a little bit about all of the offerings that you offer under, is it the podcast host or Podcraft? Which is the business?
So the podcast host is the business. The podcasthost.com is the actual website that everything runs from.
Mm.
And Podcraft is a podcast. Mm-hmm. So Podcraft is the show that runs from the podcast host, I suppose. Mm-hmm. So Podcraft is what you can subscribe to and listen to. And the podcasthost.com is a website which everyone should come back to after listening to Podcraft.
and you've got lots of information on the podcast host as well. You've got lots of templates. And I actually downloaded your fabulous ebook on how to podcast. Great. It's just honestly the information you provide is so thorough, and I remember one of your podcasts was all about the equipment, and I was thinking, oh, okay, because I had no idea what equipment to get, and you were telling us about Zoom and Rode, what was it called again, Roland, and all of these, you know, brands. And so I hopped onto your website, had a look at all of your reviews, because they're great reviews as well, and then I was getting onto all of the other websites to see where I could purchase them. Anyway, I've just placed an order online for the digital recorder, because I realized I'll need that on the go as well.
Yeah, really handy.
Yeah. Now, can you tell me about a day in your life? So, the podcast host, what is your typical working day?
I don't think such a thing exists, but I can have a stab at it.
What needs to get covered in your day?
So, yeah, a typical day, what would that be? Basically, okay, so there's a few different things that I run. So the first product that we kind of release are courses. So I have a few courses that I do, which are around podcasting. So generally, at the start of every day, I'll have a few questions from people on the courses, or people thinking about buying the courses. So that's quite often a big part of my day, is actually going through the courses and looking at material that people have commented on, and maybe refining things, adding new bits of material into those courses. The courses that we create they're always evolving. They're always changing because equipment changes for a start. There's always new techniques coming out. There's always things that I've written that maybe could be more clear or maybe more concise. So it's always an evolution. They're always improving. So I'm hoping that they're getting better and better over time. So that's always a big part of the day, and developing new courses too. So I'm always creating a little bit a couple of new videos for a new course that's ready to come out maybe in a couple of months' time, say. So that's always a big part of it, planning and creating and maintaining the courses we do. Then I would probably move on to the production side of things. So we produce a few podcasts, quite a few podcasts out there. So people come to us if they don't want to learn how to do it themselves, which quite a few people just decide, I'd quite like to record the show. I want to be the presenter, but actually I don't want to deal with anything else. I don't want to do editing. I don't want to do music. I don't want to do publication, actually maintain the website that it goes out on, all that kind of stuff. So get you guys to do that. So we do that for quite a few different companies. So maybe another part of the day would be actually just making sure that we have all the audio files we need, then doing a bit of editing, doing some feedback to some of the newer customers and saying, this is how you could improve your show. This is what we could do to make it a bit better. This is what we do to promote it in future, maybe get you more audience members. So working with those production customers always takes up a fair bit of the day too. Then sort of a final part of a typical day, we'll be thinking about content. So we'll be thinking about, you've mentioned a few times the amount of content that we've got out there. So the articles and the free podcasts and the ebooks and things like that. And that's kind of a big thing to me. It's a big part of my marketing, as well as a big part of just something that I believe in and getting as much out there as possible, because I want to help people get into this. And I mean, I need to make a living, and I want the business to be successful. So I want to for people to buy our products, but I also want people just to get passionate about podcasting. And I know there's people out there that are never going to buy a product. They just want to learn a little bit about how to do it themselves. And I'm happy to help them do that and basically get the word about podcasting out there more, because the more people that do it, the more people hear about podcasting, the more people get into it. And that means more people are, more businesses get into it too, which means that we can sort of, we can attract them into our paid products. So the free content that we put out, the articles, all that kind of stuff, it helps people. It helps people at the sort of lower end of the scale, and it helps people learn about podcasting so that, you know, the industry gets bigger, which helps us as a business as well.
Yeah, I think it's so good to be able to assist others, you know, get their first foot, you know, on the step of the ladder. And then as they want definitely. To grow, then they've got people like you who would be, you know, mentors and guides and coaches in order to build the business. You know, so many of the people that I do coach, they're in career transition, and many of them are thinking about entrepreneurship as an option, you know, either setting themselves up as a consultant or buying a business or buying a franchise or just starting their own business themselves. So for you as an entrepreneur, what would you say? Well, two part question, Colin. What would you say is, number one, the hardest thing about building and running your own business?
The hardest? That's a good question, because there's obviously quite a few hard things in there. But the hardest thing for me, to be honest, and I was at an event, related to a story of something that happened to me very recently. I was at an event last week, which was run by a local entrepreneurship organization. And it was essentially, it boiled down to being a speed dating event for company founders. So it was if you had an idea for a business, you could go along there and you could try and find a co-founder, or you could try and find a non-executive board member or something like that. You could try and find people who are interested, not in a job, but in actually helping you to start that business, presumably for a share or, you know, to own part of the business. Or you could go along, if you didn't have a business idea and you wanted to join a startup, you could go along for that purpose. And there was a lot of networking, there was a lot of talks and stuff, and it was a really interesting event because there was all these people that were looking for partners. And I think that was a manifestation of one of the hardest things of running a business, which is that more often than not, you're doing it alone. You're there as the kind of technician. So many businesses start out of somebody who's the technician. They do web design, say, and they end up running a business around web design. They employ some people because they get too busy to do it all themselves. And then they employ some more people because they get even busier. So you're at the top of the pyramid as the owner of this business, and there's all these employees under you. And it's lonely and it's difficult, because there's nobody there to tell you you're doing things wrong, and there's no one there to bounce ideas off you. There's no one there that will be honest with you, because everyone's an employee. So that, to me, is the hardest part of doing what I do, is the fact that it's just me and I want somebody else. I would quite like a couple of people on my board or partners or whatever that would tell me when I'm talking rubbish or I'm going down the wrong avenue, or have complementary skills, because I'm not great at everything. So I would, for example, really benefit from somebody who's a salesperson, because I'm rubbish at sales. So if there was somebody that could be on an equal par with me that was really good at sales, and that would really benefit my business. That might have rambled a little bit, but to me, that's the hardest part. It's the fact that most of us are in it. A lot of us are in it on our own.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, I run my own business as a coach as well. But, you know, I recently read this book, which is fabulous, by Michael Gerber, called The E-Myth. And it's all about people starting their own businesses, and exactly as you said, how you start up running your business because you're a technician and you're really good at what you do, and you think, okay, that's it, I'm not going to work for someone else anymore, I'm going to do it myself. But just being a technician is not enough. You need to have you've got to be able to be a good manager and a good entrepreneur and a good marketer and good at admin and good at so many different things. And we tend to be like a bit of a one-stop shop. We do everything ourselves. But having like a board of advisors is fantastic, because at least you can draw upon others and just bounce ideas off them, because sometimes it gets really lonely if it's your own business. And you're absolutely right. Yeah, if you've got employees, then you don't know if they are going to, you know, give you their honest opinion or not.
Yeah, The E-Myth is a great book. That's something I read. I've read about two or three times now, and I take something different away from it every time. And that's where I get the word technician from when I'm talking about that kind of thing.
Yeah,
and it's something a lot of people struggle with.
Yeah. Now, what about your top three tips for success as an entrepreneur and a successful podcaster?
For both, okay.
You can give me more than three. If you've got lots of tips, just keep them coming, Colin.
Okay. I think for me, the biggest thing I'm picking up just now, actually, just as a general entrepreneur, is that, I mean, it's almost a cliche these days, but the difference between working in your business and working on your business. So I'm trying to get away just now from doing the sort of technician type stuff, So I'm doing less of the editing. I'm not doing so much of the production and the editing and the actual writing and things like that. I'm finding people that can do that for me. And right now I'm going through a bit of a transition actually, and taking on a few employees and actually sort of expanding out the business so that I can do a lot more working on the business, which is a lot of what the E-Myth talks about actually. The fact us as business owners should be doing the strategy, should be doing the planning, should be ensuring that everything is in place for the future, as opposed to working on the stuff that needs done right here and now. So recently I've been working on, say, for example, the mission statement for the company. And that's something that a lot of people cringe at. And I used to as well, thinking about mission statements and, you know, your ideal customers and things like that. But I've actually gone through the process recently and it's so valuable, actually, just for myself. Even if I don't show anyone else it, even if I never put it on a website or tell anyone else it, just for me working out what it is I want the company to achieve, what I want the company to do in the next 5 years. It's made such a difference to my kind of focus on how to the activities we should be spending time on and put money into and employing people to complete. So that's my first top tip, I suppose, from just a general business point of view, is actually put some time into that type of planning, mission statements and ideal customers and what you want the company to achieve. And even thinking about the employees, that's something that the E-Myth does as well, isn't it? You've, from the very start, you're supposed to think about the structure of your company as if you had 100 employees. So as if you think of all the jobs that you do as an entrepreneur on your own, running your business, and actually write down a structure for your staff as if you had staff for every single one of those jobs. And that is your kind of plan for the future. You can start to segment that out when you can. And you also might find some things that you can't do very well. So sales, I mentioned, I'm not very good at. So I would employ a salesperson as soon as I could. So that's a job that I don't do very well. And I would put that in my structure as a first to outsource. So that's kind of, I suppose that's two tips in there.
Oh, they're great tips though. Really, really good tips. And but I think what you're doing now with the podcast host, because certainly I found you, I listened, I downloaded, I'm talking to you now. It's just great. So I think your sales funnel is working very well.
Okay. Right. Well, glad to hear that.
You know, before anyone, you know, buys, they have to know you, they have to like you, and they have to trust you. But everything you've actually provided, because it's such valuable information, plus you're approachable. I'm talking to you now. Honestly, I couldn't believe it when I emailed you and said, you know, would you be willing to be interviewed on my podcast? And you said yes. That instantly proves to me that you're a nice guy as well. And I think that's so important with business, because you've got to get to know, you know, your customers, and people have to feel comfortable with you. So whatever you're doing, it's working. That's great. Now,
well, thank you. I'm glad to hear that.
You're very welcome. You know what, Colin? I could talk to you all night. It's 7 o'clock, 7:30 in Sydney, and you're over in Scotland. So this is the beauty of podcasting. You can talk to people anywhere.
International.
It's fantastic. I just want to mention this conference that you're going to be speaking at in September.
Yeah, sure.
The New Media Europe conference. Can you tell me a little bit more about it?
Yeah, sure. It grew out of a conference that was on last year, actually, called UK Pod. So last year, the UK Podcasters Conference was just all about podcasting. It was a few talks around podcasting. I think we had about 6 or 7 speakers. It's run by Mike and Isabella Russell, who run Music Radio Creative in the UK. And they're good friends of mine now. And they set this up just to help podcasters. And this year they've evolved it so that it includes other media too. So it's now podcasting and blogging and video and social media. So we've got speakers coming on all those subjects, including, just everything. I'm really looking forward to it, actually, because it was great fun last year. It was kind of a smaller, intimate affair last year, maybe 100 or so attendees, and I met some great people there, and it had such an effect on my business, actually, as well as me personally, just actually friends that I've made out of it. I'm really looking forward to this year, talking again at it this year, and going to be talking about stuff around changing the existing podcasting model, actually doing podcasting a little bit differently. So yeah, it should be great fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it sounds fascinating, and I'm gutted that I'm going to be in London, but not until the week afterwards. Unfortunately, I can't get away any earlier. Otherwise, I'd be there, right there. Now, yes. So can you tell everybody again, if people want to work with you or learn more from you? Where can they go? How do you work? And just tell us all about that side of things.
Yeah, sure. So if you need a course, if you want to start podcasting, but you want a kind of simple guide to it, then my course Podcast Liberation is designed for launching a podcast. You can find that at, if you just go to the podcast host, thepodcasthost.com, you'll find links to the courses on the front page there. And we also help people to run podcasts as well. So the production services, mentoring, anything that you need help with and getting started and running your podcast long term, including actually getting a website to host it on and media hosting and all that kind of stuff, you can get from us too. So that's again at thepodcasthost.com. You can get me through the contact form there, or even just email me at colin@thepodcasthost.com, and I'm happy to help with anything. So, and there's also, yeah, I mean, even if you don't want to buy anything, you're just interested in podcasting, just want to get started in the simplest way possible, I've got tons of articles on thepodcasthost.com, and you can go to podcraft.net for the podcast as well. So thanks again for the kind words on that. If anybody else is interested in checking it out, it's podcraft.net, and that'll take you to Podcraft.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I've learned so much. I'm sure a lot of other people are going to be learning an awful lot as well. And it's just so interesting. I'm going to go check out your mountain bike. I don't mountain bike, but I'm going to go check out your mountain biking podcast as well.
I'll get you back into it, hopefully.
Yeah, that would be so good, wouldn't it? But I mean, how fascinating is podcasting that you get to, you know, interview who's who of mountain biking and who's who of podcasting? And it really is, I think it makes the world, it just brings the world together.
Yes,
and it's such a great way to just impart any knowledge that you have too. So I think from your teaching roots all the way to where you are now, it makes sense, doesn't it? You've had a fascinating, fascinating career, and I can't wait to find out what you're going to be doing next.
Me too.
That's great. Thank you so much, Colin, for being on the show.
No problem
today.
At all.
It's my pleasure.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. And I hope that one day I get to meet you.
Indeed, yes. Well, you'll have to make it across to either New Media or one of the US conferences. I'll be out in Podcast Movement next week as well, actually. So,
what's this podcast movement? Tell us about podcast Movement.
Podcast Movement is a conference in the US, all about podcasting, and it's pretty big. It's 1,000-odd people going to it, I think. And I'm doing a talk there as well, actually. So I'm really looking forward to meeting some of the. See, there's a lot of faces out there that I talk to every now and again, US podcasters, but I've never met in person. So I'm really looking forward to actually meeting some of them.
Oh, how fantastic. What's the topic you're going to be speaking on?
Similar, actually. It's going to be a shorter version around of the New Media Europe one, which will be on kind of breaking the podcasting mold. So not doing things that every other podcaster does and trying innovative new things around your podcast.
Oh, fantastic. And if anyone wants to find out more about that, where would they go?
I think the URL is just podcastmovement.com. Or Google Podcast Movement, you'll find it straight away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, Podcast Movement. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Colin. It is my pleasure to speak with you. And thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Well, thanks again for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, bye.
You've been listening to Jane Jackson Careers. Sign up to receive regular career advice at janejacksoncoach.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Your Career Podcast, I invite you to check out my career success program at thecareersacademy.online. The Career Success Program is the original program that uniquely provides 24/7 on-demand career support and fortnightly live career coaching sessions to keep you on track to reach your career goals. It is the essential resource for anyone who wants to manage their career effectively, make a career change, and land the job they'll love. Whether you're in exploration mode or seeking a new career direction and need help to make it a reality, the Career Success Program is for you. Not only do you get access to my step-by-step roadmap to navigate your career crossroads, my extensive training library and exclusive members-only discounts and tools, you'll also become part of my supportive community of professionals who will help you with feedback, encouragement, and advice. All this and more makes the Career Success Program the number one place to be for anyone looking to start, manage, and grow their career. Check it out and join me at thecareersacademy.online.